And, you know, that's the series we're looking at Jesus as the King of Kings, and looking at Jesus from different facets and trying to get some new perspectives on seeing Jesus clearly and maybe a little deeper than we have recently. And so today we're going to start off with the concept of forgiveness. And when you think about forgiveness, you know, you will need to forgive other people in your life many times. And many times other people are going to have to forgive you as well. You and I, we're not deities. So we sin against others and we get sinned against. And there's a lot of forgiveness that's going to need to happen in this world while we live on the face of the earth. Sometimes we got to forgive our pets. This 9-year-old girl standing next to her dog, she lost her art project because it had marshmallows on it. And so she doesn't look like she's got a real forgiving spirit right there, or she doesn't like mom and dad who said pose for a picture, I don't know which. But one way or another, sometimes we got to forgive our pets. Go to the next one. We got to forgive people. Sometimes we're like this with our friend. We're on one end of a bench and they're on the other end, and there's a rift in the relationship, and forgiveness is needed. I'm sure everybody has felt this kind of a feeling in your life sometime. I recently felt this in some relationship friction I've had on Friday. I felt that in a big way and been working on getting over, you know, that rift in that relationship. Forgiveness is needed. Go to the next slide there. Why is forgiveness so necessary? Because we do all these things, and people do those things to us. We're critical of people. We're self-righteous towards people. We're defensive with people. We're impatient and unkind towards people. We're unloving and selfish towards other people. And it causes a rift in the relationship. And then people do that towards us. And so relationships are constantly in a precarious place where sin could pop up and cause problems. And when sin does pop up and cause problems, what's needed is forgiveness. Go to the next slide. And what's called the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, we have forgiveness as a central theme in that prayer. Father, forgive us. That's a daily prayer Jesus served up. So here's a daily prayer for you guys. And it should be asking for forgiveness. So there's a assumption by Jesus that we're going to need forgiven every day, which we do, if we're honest. But he didn't stop there. He says, because we're also going to forgive everybody else that sins against us. Which one's easier to pray? Father, forgive me, or as I forgive everybody else? You know, it's tough sometimes to have that second part on there. Forgiveness is a central point of the kingdom of God. Yeah. It's a central theme in what Jesus had to talk about. It's who God is as a forgiving God full of compassion. You know, when you think about forgiveness for a minute, let's think about a scene like this. There's a birthday party for Dennis. Trevor was there. And at the party, you know, Trevor was being super disrespectful to Dennis at his birthday party. They had a sing-off, and Trevor totally showed up Dennis. And Dennis thought he should have let him win, and he didn't. Totally disrespectful. And Dennis was feeling all bad about it, crying over there in the corner on his birthday party, you know. And forgiveness was needed. And so Aaron stepped and said, you know what, Trevor, I forgive you for hurting Dennis like that. Does that work?
Nope.
Can Aaron forgive Trevor when Trevor offended Dennis? No. The offending party has to do the forgiving. Dennis needs to say, I forgive you, not Aaron. The person that forgives is the person that was offended. Right? No, that actually did not happen. And we know it because... No offense, but Dennis would win the thing off. I just think he would. So the offending party is the one that has to extend the forgiveness, right? So we're gonna, with that in the backdrop, go to the next slide. The first point we're going to talk about is Jesus alone can forgive all of your sins. Only Jesus can do that. Because every sin you've ever committed is against God. Now, it might be also against a person, but it's against God. Every single sin you've ever done, I've ever done in my entire life, is an offense against God. And so therefore, only God can extend the forgiveness for all my sins. A person might forgive me for the one I did to that person, but I did all of them to God. So God is the only party that can extend that forgiveness. Only God can do that. Only Jesus the King has the authority to forgive all of your sins. We're going to look at that concept as we read in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. So if you want to go to Mark chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to start reading there for today's text on Jesus the King. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they couldn't get the man to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Sins, plural. That's noteworthy. He didn't say your sin, singular. You know, could have been like, you know, he's coming down through the roofs like, "Jesus, I just want to say I'm sorry for interrupting your preaching moment here, and I know I'm dropping all kinds of dirt and debris all over your head and everybody around you. Sorry about that." You know, he could have said sorry about that. And Jesus could have forgiven him for that instance, but that's not what he did. He said, "Your sins, all of them, are forgiven." See, this is a whole different category. This is something nobody else has ever done or been able to do, because only God can do that. And we're going to see that played out as we read on. Verse 6, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does Jesus talk like that? He's blaspheming. He's being irreverent to God because they didn't believe he was God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? See, they understood the scene. This guy said, "Your sins, all of them, are forgiven," but he can't do that. He's not God. That's what they're thinking. Jesus is like, that's exactly the point. I am God, and I do, and I can do this, and I'm going to prove it to you because you're so slow to get it. And we read the rest of the story. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? What's easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'?" What's easier, you know? You guys don't think I have the authority to do this? Well, what do you think's easier, for me to say what I just said or for me to heal this guy? You know none of them were speaking up, right? He asked the question. There was nobody answering that question. They were all like, "I'm not saying nothing. I don't know where he's going, but he's not going to get me. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I'll tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up. He took his mat. And he walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everybody. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Of course they haven't. Because Jesus is God. Jesus is the King. Jesus has the authority to forgive all sins. And in case they weren't getting it, he did something miraculous to put a stamp on it. Why is that important? We all have a bunch of sins we've committed in our life. And if we live another day, month, or year, we're going to add to that number. Jesus the King has the authority to forgive all of our sins. All of them. And he wants to. Because he's a compassionate God. It's his desire to forgive all your sins. That's what he wants to do. That's why Jesus came. And he did a miracle then to prove that he had the authority, and that's where he was at, and that's what he wanted to do. And if we needed a miracle today, he'd give us one. But he gave us his word and the miracles here so that we would understand and believe. Amen? Let's take another look at this story from a lens with a different perspective. Go to the next slide. Let's chew on this concept. Jesus cares more about your soul than your situation. Think about that for a minute. Jesus cares more about your soul than your situation. What does that mean exactly? Let's think about this paralytic. What was his situation? His situation was he couldn't walk. Right? He's paralyzed. His situation is life's hard. His situation is that he's been this way for a long time, and he's been dependent on other people, and his quality of life is low. That's his situation. What does he want? He wants healed. What would you want? You'd want healed. I'd want to walk. If I was paralyzed, that'd be pretty high on my list. Over time, if you're like that for a decade, do you want it more or do you want it less? Probably depends. If you fall in depression, maybe you want it less, sort of, because you're so depressed you don't want anything. But you still want to get out of the depression, so you want that pretty bad. I believe you get to the place where your situation becomes the focal point. If only Jesus would change my situation. If he would just heal me. If I could just walk. If he would change this situation of mine, then I would be joyful. Then I would never complain again. Then I would, any future problem, I would laugh at it. If only he would change this situation. And the situation becomes the focal point. And if the situation would change, then everything's better. And the situation change becomes the promised land. And God's not really in the picture. It's all about the situation. Can you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go to the next slide. What's your situation? What do you have going on in your life? What is going on with you that you could be challenged with the same thing as this paralytic with, if only this situation were different, then all these things would be great, or at least good and better. And the situation that this thing that we have in our life, this situation, it's been there for so long and we want it to change so badly that God's starting to get squeezed out and the situation becomes the focal point. What's your situation? If I just got that job, if I just got that relationship, if I just got this healing, if I just got this success, if the church would just do this, if the church would just stop doing that, if my spouse would just do this, if my kids would just do that, fill in the blank. But what's your situation?
Come on.
Go to the next slide. If only Jesus changed my situation, then blank, blah, 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 blah. If we've got that going on in our hearts, then we gotta really step back and say, have we lost God on this deal? Has this become the focal point and God is now second? my deliverance is the situation change instead of my deliverance is God. It can be subtle, but those are pretty different. Is there anything like that going on with you? You know, with me. There's an interesting sentence here. Go to the next one. Our biggest issue is never our suffering, but our sin. Is that true? Think about that. Would you say that that was true? Your biggest issue, my biggest issue is never the suffering I'm going through, but it's the sin I'm engaged in. Now, our suffering is an issue. I'm not saying it's a non-issue. I'm saying, what's our biggest issue? What was the paralytic's biggest issue? Was it that he couldn't walk? Or was it that he had sins that weren't forgiven? If he died that day and God said, I'll give you one of two things. I'll heal you or I'll forgive you. Which one would he choose? Hopefully forgiveness. See, that is the bigger issue, isn't it? If we can boil it down, if we can see it the way God sees it, and we can stack them up next to each other and say, okay, which one is more weighty? On the day of judgment, will you rather have your sins forgiven or that situation changed? We want our sins forgiven, don't we? It is our biggest issue. You know, now Jesus, when he was being lowered, and Jesus looked at the man, and the first thing Jesus said was, your sins are forgiven. What was he thinking? What would you be thinking? I came here, I had great hopes, we're digging through the roof, you know, that we brought him in. And there's all these people, I can't get to Jesus, I was so down, I was starting to cry, I can't get to Jesus. And then my buddies, they're like, no, we're getting you there, we're going to put a hole in the ceiling. And they go up there and they start, and he's like, oh, hope is coming back, I'm going to get in front of Jesus. I know I'm raining dirt on people. I don't really care because I'm going to get in front of Jesus. And, you know, you're lowering down. You're like, I'm making it. I'm getting there. I'm going to see him. He's going to do great things for me. He's going to heal me. I can't believe it's finally arrived. The day has come. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. I don't know. I'm thinking if I'm that guy, I might feel a little bit like, come again? I don't know. What was that? Go to the next slide. I think he might have been thinking this. Jesus, I don't think you understand why I'm here. I don't think you quite understand why they carried me, why they dug the hole, why they... Can I have another wish? You know, can I rub the bottle? Can I have three wishes? I mean, I don't think you understand my suffering. I don't think you're seeing my pain exactly. I mean, I heard what you said, sounded good and all, but I just don't think you get my pain. Go to the next slide. I think Jesus might have said, I do understand. Your sins are forgiven. I know you're suffering, but your sins are forgiven. I feel your pain. I'm not ignoring it, but your sins are forgiven. I kind of wonder if Jesus might have felt some of those things if that paralytic had articulated what he might have been feeling. Now, of course, Jesus did heal him as well, right? See, Jesus cares about our situation. We should pray about our situation. Our situation affects us. I'm not saying it doesn't affect us. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray about it. I'm saying let's look at it from God's lens. What's our biggest issue? And it's not our situation. You know, even little stuff bugs us. I had poison ivy. You might not be able to tell the dark red there on my arm. It's going away. But I had poison ivy. It took about 8 days to dry up. It's still not gone. It was bugging the tar out of me. I was praying for God to change my situation. Okay, it itched, it looked bad. Last Sunday I wore long sleeves. I was the only one in the whole room wearing long sleeves. You're like, why are you wearing long sleeves? I'm like, you don't want to see this. But I'm praying that God would take away the creeping crud.
Yeah.
It was bothering me. But it's not my biggest issue. My sin's my biggest issue. And I'm well aware of that. I still prayed about this. But I'm well aware of the thing I care about the most is having my sin dealt with. Go to the next slide. Jesus cares more about your soul than your situation. Don't build your security on your situation. It's easy to do. It's easy to build our security on things in our life, the situation in our life, whether our situation's good or whether our situation's not good, or this is going on or that's going on, or this relationship or that relationship or this job or all the things in this life we can build our security on, and it's completely on sand. If our situation improves, we're joyful. If our situation goes worse, we're sad, we're in the dumps, we're depressed, and we ride a roller coaster if our security is centered on our situation. But if we build our security on being a forgiven child of God, then our security is on the rock. We can have a bad situation and still be a forgiven child of God.
Yep.
Amen. We got something there. It doesn't change based on our situation. Right? Jesus cares more about your soul than your situation. Build your security on Jesus the King, not on your current situation, not on your current circumstance. You know, what's that look like in somebody's life? We're going to wrap up in 1 Samuel 24, if you go there. What's it look like to understand this concept and live it out in an actual life of a person? We're going to look at David. So what's going on here? Go to the next slide there. A little cartoon picture. What's going on in this little picture, what's going on in this setting, is Saul is trying to kill David. David has done nothing wrong. Matter of fact, he's been a blessing to Saul. He's gone to war for Saul. He's won battles for King Saul. King Saul got jealous. And so basically, since David was getting more fame than the king's like, I don't like that. And so he wants to kill David. And so David's on the run. David's being pursued. He's being hunted down. He's got to sleep in caves instead of a palace. His situation stinks. Somebody's trying to kill me for no wrong I've done. I have to sleep in a cave with a bunch of stinky guys instead of a palace. And I have to look over my shoulder all the time for the king's men could be around the corner to take my life. I'm paranoid. His situation's bad. And then God so arranges where Saul shows up as he's looking for David. He goes in this cave and he's looking for David, but he's got to go to the bathroom. It's such a crazy scene. So he goes in the cave to relieve himself. David's in the very cave. Now the guys with David are like, oh, great news! God sent Saul here so that you could change your situation. Why don't you kill Saul? Because that's what you do. Somebody's after you, you take them out. See, God served it up for you. So David crept up and he cut the edge of the robe of the king off to prove that he could have taken his life if he wanted to. The king doesn't even notice. I'm thinking, man, that's some real determined action going on right there. You don't even notice somebody creeping up behind you and messing with your clothing there. But whatever. I don't know how that happened. So then the king leaves the cave, and we pick up the story in verse 11 of 1 Samuel 24. David says, See, my father talking to the king, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the center of the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. See, David put his security in God as his deliverer and not his situation change. He could have changed the situation that day, but he didn't. He said, I'm not changing it. That's God's job. It's God's job to change the situation. What I'm going to do is I'm going to trust God as my deliverer. I'm going to put my faith in Him, my security in Jesus the King. That's where my security is going to be, not in my situation. That's what it looks like in the life of a person. And hopefully, that's what it'll look like in our lives as we deal with our situations. Because we all have them. Everybody's got some kind of situation going on. Let's put our faith in Jesus the King. Let's choose Jesus as our deliverer. And we're going to listen to a song here about God as our deliverer. And after that, John Zick will come up and say a few words, say a prayer, and we'll take communion. So let's listen to the words of this song here.